The Sherwin-Williams Summer Sale is here. Get 30% off select paints and stains or 35% off our newest product, Emerald Symmetry, July 17th through the 27th. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.
Hello and welcome to Alchemy 101, the show where we explore all avenues of transformation and aim to mine a few nuggets of gold that can support us in living in line with nature in a way that's true to our nature, even though sometimes it feels counterintuitive, like the nightingale, a bird that sings out in the dark. I'm JJ, the Practical Alchemist, delighted as ever to have you join me today. Now, the show is brought to you once again in association with Nasal Guard, the drug-free nasal gel that uses electrostatic technology to block harmful airborne contaminants. Because it also blocks indoor and outdoor allergens, it's great for travellers and pet lovers alike. Later, Alexia Leachman joins me to catch up on the impact her work has had on my life. Alexia is the founder of Head Trash and author of Fearless Birthing, and we explore issues that we've both faced and overcome, not always in an easy way. Stay tuned to hear more. First, rhubarb. No, not that kind of rhubarb. The food. I was very happy this week to be able to buy my first rhubarb of the year. Now, I know it's a bit of a Marmite scenario with rhubarb. You either love it or hate it. I love it. And February is when you get forced rhubarb from Yorkshire. The rhubarb triangle, as it's called, is famous for these sweet, tender, long stalks with a fabulous red colour. You can see a picture of it on my blog at thepracticalalchemist.uk, and you can also find it on my social media channels. I'm known as The Practical Alchemist on social media. Now, this rhubarb is brought indoors and grown in darkened sheds to give it a sweeter, more delicate flavour than rhubarb grown outside all year round. It's even harvested by hand for sustainability and in candlelight. Half of me feels for the plants, searching for the light, and apparently you can even hear them growing in their sheds. And the other half of me thoroughly enjoys the result. Rhubarb's incredibly good for you. It's a great source of vitamins K, C and A, and some of the benefits may include reducing the risk of osteoporosis, lowering blood pressure, aiding digestion and reducing inflammation, as well as lowering the risk of type 2 diabetes and even cancer. As a child, we always had a crown or two of rhubarb growing in the garden, and I'd eat the stalks raw in summer, dipped in an egg cup full of sugar, I remember, to mitigate against the tartness of those juicy stalks. Just remember, though, don't eat the leaves. They are toxic with high levels of oxalic acid. Now, there are low levels in the stalks too, but that doesn't actually matter too much for most of us. But if you have kidney or liver problems, then you should probably avoid rhubarb altogether. Rhubarb leaves might be a no-go, but there are some leaves available right now that are really good to eat. I'm talking about wild garlic. And I was also delighted this week to get out and check how my local foraging spots were looking. And they're looking very promising, I'm pleased to say, but not quite ready to pick in any quantity, so I only took a few pungent leaves to go in a salad. Wild garlic will probably be further along the further south you go in the UK, so I encourage you to enjoy this fantastic plant if you find it growing abundantly near you. It prefers ancient woodland, so that's a good place to look for it. Just remember, pick it judiciously and never uproot the plants. That's illegal in the UK. I'll be talking more about wild garlic and blogging more about it on my website, thepracticalalchemist.uk. Now, foraging is a great way to supplement your diet, but for a lot of people, getting out into the countryside is a bit of a problem if they suffer from hay fever. I tend to get it around elderflower time, usually mildly, but this year I will definitely be using Nasal Guard from our sponsor. It's easy to use, and because it's water-based gel, totally discreet, and it's also drug-free. Here's Nasal Guard's co-inventor and the company's co-founder, Kanika Wahi, to tell us more.
Nasal Guard works just as simple as a basic magnet. As you know, like charges repel each other and opposite charges attract each other. Our Nasal Guard gel is a positively charged gel that attracts negatively charged airborne particles onto the nose, essentially creating an electrostatic barrier, an invisible shield prior to inhalation and right around your upper lip and your nostril and nasal area. So it helps block out a lot of the pesky and dirty air particles that you see floating around. It's safe for the entire family, and we pride ourselves in the fact that it works on very simple physics.
Yes, and that's the beauty of it, I think.
Right.
So no drugs, no fancy sounding chemicals. You're literally pulling particles out of the air and trapping them.
That's right. The key component of this product is the trapping and the attracting of the particles prior to inhalation. So they do get trapped around the nasal passages where you're applying the physical gel. And it also has an electrostatic component. So it is attracting the oppositely charged particles. It's very simple.
Yeah, I know. It's brilliant. Brilliant in its simplicity, I think. Now, a lot of people might say, I breathe through my mouth. So it's not going to block that, obviously, but the efficacy is still pretty high.
That's right. You bring up a great point. And it's also important to note that the majority of particles that you do inhale end up going through the nasal passages in the nose. So that's something that is a very important statistic, that the majority of particles that are contributing to a lot of the respiratory symptoms are inhaled through the nose rather than the mouth. So while it's not directed or instructed to be applied, or our topical gel is not instructed to be applied around the nose or around the mouth, rather, it does have a large contribution of blocking and stopping those particles, the airborne particles, from being inhaled through the nasal passages.
And yes, I mean, I guess things like pollen, they will just filter up through your nose anyway. And that's where the irritation and the allergy symptoms come from.
That's true. The majority of the harmful particles are the reason why, and the reason why people have the majority of the symptoms, such as runny nose or itchy eyes, coughing, sneezing. They're all due to the fact that they are inhaling some of these, either pollen or dust mites, pet dander. Some of the hay fever symptoms are directly correlated with that.
Then what I'm thinking about is, okay, so we talk about Nasal Guard being great for air travel, being great for people who have allergies. Who else might benefit from this? I'm thinking, you know, it's water-based. So is there any kind of sport or anything where you wouldn't use it? What kind of people would be using this product as a general rule?
You brought up a lot of really great points. I do believe that we like to think that it's universally beneficial, because everyone has a nose, everyone breathes. We do believe that it's universally beneficial across the board. The best selling product so far has been the air travelers segment, followed by the pet lovers. But I will say that there are quite a few school children, parents who buy this for, you know, their entire family. You know, they themselves might be a germaphobe. They would like to pass this on to their kids and make sure they're applying this to help protect themselves. The beauty of Nasal Guard is that it does dry clear. It is invisible to the naked eye. It's actually more invisible than sunscreen, rather. It's something that can completely blend in with any cosmetics, any makeup. It can easily be applied without interfering with any products that you might already have, even any skincare. So that's something that we pride ourselves in, is that it is an invisible mask. It's an invisible filter that we're essentially creating for each person who tries our product.
Brilliant. So would you put it on under your sunscreen or your makeup?
The best way to apply it is whatever suits your lifestyle. We tend to recommend the recommended way is to apply it prior to sunscreen or makeup, but it can still be applied just as well and just as effective if you were to forget or apply it after the fact as well. It'll have the same type of efficacy if you were to apply it prior to makeup and still create that electrostatic barrier prior to inhaling some of these dust mites and pollen, ragweed.
You can try out Nasal Guard for yourself. Just head over to UK Health Radio's homepage at ukhealthradio.com and follow the link there. That's after you've listened to the rest of the show, of course. Stay with me because I'll be back with much more right after we've heard these messages.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. The station that makes you feel good.
And you're listening to Alchemy 101 with me, JJ, the Practical Alchemist. Now, if you listened to my show last year with Alexia Leachman, you'll know that I experienced a profound shift during that conversation. So much so that much has changed in my life, but not before I went through what I've started to call a life purge. And I invited Alexia back onto the show, partly to tell her how profoundly things have changed for me, but also to share with you, my listeners, how life transformation can work in real life. Alexia is the developer of Head Trash Clearance. It's a potent clearing technique for getting rid of fears, anxieties, traumas, self-doubts, and sabotage. She's also the author of Fearless Birthing, aimed at people suffering from tocophobia, a word I'd never even heard of until I met Alexia. Here's how our conversation went. I'm loving that we're speaking today because when we last spoke, I had this huge realization, this huge aha moment that I had most of my life up until that point actually suffered from something called tocophobia, which you know all about, fear of giving birth. And what I realized was that one of the ways that it was affecting me, not just in the actual fear of actually giving birth to an actual child, one of the ways that it was affecting me was that I was never able to birth things, anything, any creation into the world. And oh my word, has that changed? But not without its issues. And we'll talk about those in a second. But that's kind of one of the things that happens when you have a bit of an aha moment, a bit of a transformation moment in life. Not everything goes swimmingly, does it?
No, it doesn't. And I think when you realize something on the magnitude of what you realize, and also tocophobia, no one's really heard about it, even though it affects up to 30-35% of women. And so, and it's rooted in trauma. It's complex, severe anxiety disorder. It doesn't mess about in terms of the mental health impact that it has on women. And so, you know, to identify, as happened for you, many women don't realize they have it. So yeah. They go through life kind of not knowing why they, well, maybe put their foot to the floor with their business or their work because they want to be a career girl. No, family's not for me, but they don't realize why they're thinking that. They just think that's modern women for you kind of attitude potentially. And so suddenly when you uncover that you've got this thing that you didn't realize was a thing that is a thing and that you have the thing, and then that aha moment or that realization can be quite illuminating, like just incredible. But then to conquer it is another level as well. So I think the realization with the work that I do in helping women to conquer this is once they realize that what they're suffering from is a known thing, there's a huge amount of relief that comes from that. But then the next part is, okay, now you know you've got this thing. Now, do you want to get rid of this thing? Do you want to sort it? Do you want to conquer it? Do you want to heal it? Okay, and then that's where the real journey starts, because that will look different for everybody. But you, incredibly, were able to kind of leap through that part quite fast, given the work that you do and where you're at. And so you've now kicked off this, and the next part of your journey in quite formidable style from, at least that's how it looks from my end.
Oh, thank you. Yes. Yes. Well, I did leap through all these kind of aha moments and kind of go, okay, right. Okay. Yeah. Right. Got it now.
Yeah.
But then I had to go through a death and rebirth, literally. Yes, literally. You know, short of actually leaving my body, I think. Everything. So we last spoke in October 2023. So 5 months ago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're in February.
In those 5 months, I have been to, it has just been extraordinarily difficult. Like everything kind of died away, but it had to. You know, I was talking to you when we were talking earlier before we started recording, I was saying, you know, like my car died. And my washing machine died, and you know, and even good friends died. Everything around me was dying, and inside, I was also being brought to a point where I felt that I was dying to a great extent. It felt like the Tibetan Buddhists have a notion of something called bardo, which is the is when you just are stripped of everything before you are allowed to ascend or to, you know, before you get to enlightenment. And it kind of felt like a living bardo where I just, everything was being stripped away. But I knew what I wanted to do. And I knew that I had to let go of all these things that were cluttering my life and keeping me from achieving what I want to achieve before I could move forward. And I feel that we've got to that point. I've got to that point now, which is why I'm so happy to speak to you now, because A, I want to say thank you, but B, wanted to just underline for all these people out there, all these women out there who might have this condition, tocophobia, without knowing it. You know, maybe if you're stuck and you can't bring whatever it is that you want to birth into the world, maybe that's what it is. But remember, it's not always an easy journey.
No, it's not. And then when we're stuck, it can be really difficult to figure out the way out of that, because we just feel like we're in a swamp and you can't even climb the sides, because it just feels like you keep just slipping straight back in. And so identifying maybe the reason why you're feeling this stuckness can be such a huge, well, can just suddenly give you a way out, even though it doesn't make it an easier way out. It's a way out for sure. So, but this feeling of stuckness is very interestingly, one of the major themes that I work a lot with these women that are suffering from tocophobia is the theme of feeling trapped, which is basically stuck. And this theme of trapped is pervasive throughout the whole of the pregnancy, birth, motherhood journey, because you know, once you're pregnant, you're trapped on that train until the baby shows up, unless you choose to have an abortion or unless you lose the baby, which neither are the very desirable options. Then once labor kicks off, you're trapped in that process until the baby shows up. There's no like, no, that's me done. No, that's enough for today. I'm going to go home. You're stuck until the baby shows up. And then when you're a mother, you're stuck then until they leave home. So the whole of that journey has got these trapping elements that are present, which brings with it this sense of just the weight of that trappedness. Just, you know, the thing about these patterns and these feelings that we have is they don't, like patterns don't worry about what aspect of life they're affecting. They're like blankets. They just go and affect everything. So you can't just go, oh, I feel stuck in my work and it's just my work life in a little package over here. No, that stuckness is going to be in your relationship, in your home, in your whatever. Like, it's just a pattern in your life. And so, you know, wrestling with these patterns, when you do figure a way out, when you figure out the route and you find a way out, it can be incredibly transformational, because suddenly that pattern is clear from all aspects of your life. And suddenly there can be this sense of almost like a propulsion of, boom, you know, suddenly here I am leaping into action. And it certainly looks like that's what you're going through, is this leaping into action where maybe you've been held back
Well, it does feel like that, really does. However, what's been going through my head as you've been speaking is, wow, I wonder whether that period, that 5 month period, was the actual giving birth period where you are, because you said, you know, you're stuck in that, in that birth moment. I wonder whether that was what happens. Is you have to. It's almost like you have to let go of everything and allow it to come through. That's what was coming into my head.
Gestating
that before.
Yeah, your ideas were germinating, gestating, they were taking shape. I think once the confines have been, the shackles have been broken off, let's say, suddenly the energy is then free to start doing its thing, marinating, merging, creating. And those things were, that process had kicked off. That creation process was now unlocked for you. But as we all know, like, you know, cooking an amazing dinner does not happen in 5 minutes flat, does it? There's a lot of prep work, a lot of chopping, a lot of simmering, a lot of stirring. And so that's really what potentially has been going on beneath the surface for you, is this kind of marinating, you know, simmering process. And now you're like, hey, lift the lid, here's my dinner, da-da, I'm ready to serve.
Yes. And of course, again, you know, it's that notion where suddenly you emerge into the world and everybody thinks, oh, that's been very, very easy. You know, a great chef can make it look very simple, but actually it's not at all. And the amount of training. So, you know, that birthing process is a bit similar. It's not necessarily easy, but what comes out at the end can be pretty marvelous. And I feel great now. I'm very clear about, you know, where I go forward. And, you know, I've been doing UK Health Radio, my show Alchemy 101, for a long time now. But then I realized I wanted to do so much more. I'll continue to do this. But then, you know, my YouTube channel, Alternatively Speaking, where I can just, you know, talk about other things other than health, and then writing as well. All these things that I've been wanting to do for I don't know how long and have never managed to, all suddenly doable. Extraordinary.
It is incredible. It's incredible how that creation part of you was shut down and how it's flowing again.
Yeah.
And where that, and understanding your backstory with, you know, from what I can remember, and correct me if I'm wrong, is that when you were being born, you had the cord around your neck, which is part of the original trauma that potentially put all of this in place for you. So of course, and that you can't breathe, there's nothing that's going to come through, there's no air, there's no oxygen. So now the oxygen's flowing, and life is coming forth in these projects for you, which you know, I think it's a lesson for a lot of people to learn from this, that something that can be incredibly, what looks like completely unrelated, disconnected, nothing to do with, you know, like, how can that thing over there that would happen, you know, can affect this over here? But actually, I think what a lot of people don't realize is the impact of our own birth experiences and how they set the blueprint, the emotional blueprint, and the trajectory of our life, because so much of our experiences are, you know, when we, and also when we're in conception, when we're in the womb, when we're being created in the womb, we're marinating in the emotions of our mother, the whole of that creation process where our cells are being pulled together is, I mean, that's the fabric of our being is being created right there. And so what are the conditions that we were being created in? But then what were the conditions when we arrived in the world? Like, what was that arrival like? What were our first glimmers of life outside of the womb like? How did people interact with us? What was our exit like? There's a lot of evidence around the arrival of your birth. So, for example, a C-section baby who has been pulled out, essentially, they find it very difficult to initiate things on their own because they haven't had to initiate that journey down the birth canal. So they often need to be pulled out of situations because they can't get themselves out of those situations. So, it, you know, understanding your mode of arrival could provide a lot of insight into why you are the way you are and why you behave the way you do. And I think a lot of people miss the opportunity to look at their birth, look at their conception, their time in the womb, to see what that might provide for them in terms of opportunities for growth. Because a lot of people don't look there, and it's rich with information and answers and insights as to why we are the way we are.
I think you're absolutely right. And yes, I know that the care of an infant before the infant is born is hugely important. What goes on around is hugely important. And I suspect that my own mother wasn't looking forward as much as she might have been to my birth. I was, quotes, a mistake. You know, I came along much later than my two sisters. And I don't think it was the most joyous thing. Now, she always said that as soon as she saw me, she felt, you know, obviously she loved me and all of that. But you can imagine how there would have been some apprehension, to say the least, when she was going through the pregnancy. And that will have filtered down as well. And, you know, I think one of the interesting things also to come out of all of this, for which I'm hugely grateful to you, I talked a lot last year and talked a lot with our late dear friend, Dr. Mark Gulston, about me struggling to find my voice, you know, my voice, talk about what I believe in, what about all about the things that I understand in life and want to share. Always found it difficult to do that in any great way. Well, no, not anymore. Not anymore, frankly. I'm absolutely all for going all out there. And I've got a little event happening online at the end of the month on the 29th of February called An Introduction to Energy Clearing. And now this is something I've been doing for decades. But have I really talked a great deal about it? No. But it's time to change all that. It's time to share what I know, share my knowledge. I mean, look, I'm getting on in life and I've seen a few things. And why not? You know, why not share some of that and get it out there? So, you know, this has been the other thing that's come out of amazingly just a couple of conversations that we had, which has been extraordinary.
And you can still reserve your place for that event at 7 p.m. GMT on February the 29th by going to my website, safehavenhealing.uk/events. It's called An Introduction to Energy Clearing. And yes, it's on leap year day. So I'm inviting you to leap into the world of energy with me. You know, everybody's talking about the energy crisis, the fuel costs. And that is a very real issue right now. But what about our personal energy? A lot of people are in crisis there or heading for a crisis. And with everything that's going on in the world, it's crucial that we all learn how to manage our energy, learn the ins and outs of our personal power. Whether you're new to the concept or not, this event is perfect if you're curious about harnessing the power of your energy to improve your well-being. I'll be guiding you through various techniques to clear and balance your energy, helping you release blocks and promote a sense of harmony. You'll experience how energy clearing can boost your vitality and enhance your daily life. So don't miss out on this opportunity. Go to the events page on my Safe Haven Healing website, that's safehavenhealing.uk/events, and register there. But again, hang fire on that for now, because Alexia and I have much more to share after yet another short break for some more messages. Back after this.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
And you're listening to Alchemy 101 here on UK Health Radio, the world's number one talk health radio station. I'm JJ, the practical alchemist, and before the break, Alexia Leachman, and I were talking about the power of conversations. And so we continued. Here's Alexia again.
Now, the power of conversation, I think, is extraordinary, actually.
Yeah, and
Absolutely. Just the other week, actually, we had Stephen Corco on, who's in the States and is a PR executive, very successful. His work is also about the power of conversation. Start the conversation, yeah. You know, the transformational power of conversation. So, yeah, so here we are, living proof of the power of that kind of conversation, but also that your work is so important and how it's not just about actually physically giving birth to babies, although that is also great. And I thank you so much for it. Because,
my pleasure.
Oh, well, because, you know, I mean, as I think I said to you at the time, I wish we'd had this conversation years ago.
Yeah, a lot of women that I work with wish they'd met me years ago, and they see the transformation that come about with the work that I do with people. And I know we haven't actually worked together. It was the conversation, and then yeah. You did a lot of that at your end. But when you are able to kind of process and let go of something like tocophobia, and whether it's that or even, you know, anxiety or whatever else you might be struggling with, the repercussions on your life, the impact and the transformation that people see in their life as a result of kind of addressing these things is just phenomenal. And really, if I would just urge anybody that is wrestling with anything from an emotional perspective, or whether it's depression or anxiety or a phobia, whatever it is, to kind of hunt down a solution that's going to really help you to change. Because one thing that you'll be left with is, why did I not do this sooner? Why did I leave it so long? Because, and really, you know, why... I get some women that have tocophobia, like, well, I wonder if I should wait till I'm pregnant before I work on this.
Right,
it's
yeah.
Like, no, because why should you wait to feel better? Why are you delaying you feeling better about yourself? Because it can be such a pervasive phobia and anxiety disorder that you are worth more than this. Don't wait another year to feel better. Feel better now. Yeah, like go after this now, because you've got a life to live. You know, yeah. Whether or not there's a child there, whatever that looks like for you, you are stuck with you. You know, you can't escape you. You have to get along better with yourself, be more comfortable with your company, be at peace with yourself. Why wait for any of that? That needs to be brought forward, prioritized in people's lives.
Yeah, but you can imagine how women will think that it is only to do with the physical act of giving birth, you know, and that they'll kind of mistakenly think that that's the only thing that they need to deal with. They think that it's, you know, the fear of physically popping out, or, you know, going through pregnancy and popping out this lovely little baby. It's more, much, much more than that. Much, so much more.
Yeah, because in fact, a lot of the fears and the conflicts that make up tocophobia have got nothing to do with birth.
Yeah.
A lot of women, they think, oh, it's because I don't, you know, I'm thinking about cesarean, I'm thinking about, you know, they're thinking about tearing, they're thinking about birthy, physiological yes. birthing process things. But actually, I very rarely work on those things with people. It's always a fear of losing control. It's fear of being trapped, which we've already talked about. It's a fear of uncertainty. It's a fear of change. I mean, these are human fears that everybody has. This isn't just pregnant women. This is humans have these fears. But they all come together in a certain way to create a really fun, like, really big block for those that are on that pregnancy journey, especially if you're, you know, certain of those fears and conflicts are very, very strong and there's a trauma behind that really embeds that in. But these are things that we all have. Who hasn't got a fear of uncertainty? Who hasn't got a fear of change? We all have that because it's part of survival. It's part of how we've been created. It's about restoring balance to those fears, making sure they don't drive the show. It means that you need to be able to master them and not be controlled by them. And that's just good old self-mastery. But that's, you need to do some healing work to get to a place where you've got self-mastery.
Yes, you do. You do need to do that. Although I will say that, you know, I've done a lot of work over the years, but never, ever did I quite get to the nub of it all, which I think is probably partly why I'm so delighted and astonished that we managed to get to the heart of it within, I think, two conversations. And I finally got to the very heart of issues that kept me back throughout my entire life and made me play small, And, you know, and a lot of people will look at my life and say, well, you've been successful. Well, you know, but wasn't quite there, you know, wasn't quite doing all I can do. Time to do it now, though.
Yeah. Got a whole new chapter ahead of you now, JJ.
Yeah, I know. Very exciting. Very exciting. So, yeah, so I thought it was lovely to, or would be lovely, and it is lovely to have you back on the show and talk about how I have developed 5 months on from those very important conversations in my life. And hopefully other people will get such a lot from these conversations that we've had, because I think it's really important. One thing I do want to ask you is, do men suffer from tocophobia?
Yes, they do. I've not had men come to me to work on that, but I had a very interesting experience early on in my birth work when I was recording some, I wanted to do a lot of videos and create some content for an online program I was creating. And so I hired a videographer to be my video guy. And he was like 19, you know. And so I had all my stuff, and, you know, set up, and we rented a studio. We had, you know, the backdrops and everything was makeup, all the rest, you know, had it all set up. And about an hour in, he's like, I can't do this. I'm going to be sick. I'm going to faint. I can't bear listening to you. And it's like, excuse me, what do you mean you can't bear listening? Because I think I'm going to collapse. I can't listen to this. It's making me really nauseous. And it's like, and I was like, wow, that's nuts. I'd never really, you know, could like really grasp the thought that maybe men could suffer from this. But of course, it's so obvious because the root trauma for many with tocophobia is their own birth. So it doesn't matter that it's a guy. He could also have a traumatic birth experience. That means that the whole idea of talking about birth canals and giving birth and labor, that's going to bring up the same kind of neuroses that would have brought up with me. I couldn't look at a diagram of a birth canal when I was pregnant, because even just the diagram in my pregnancy book showing how the baby was going to squeeze through there, I could feel a panic attack rising and had to close the book immediately. Mm. Now, it doesn't matter that I've got the biological bits to do that.
Yeah.
You know, it can still trigger that within you. So to answer your question, absolutely yes. And there are so many dads that can't be in the birth room when their women are giving birth. They can't be there. And they're the ones that are fainting and need the support. And I think that's tocophobia at play.
I think that might be the case. Yeah, I can see how that would be the case. And yeah, it makes sense that men would have it as well. Yeah,
yeah,
absolutely. And it's also interesting to me that having done a lot of work on myself and done a lot of things within, you know, the neuro-linguistic programming arena, timeline therapy, that sort of thing, where you supposedly go back to first cause of any issues, never ever quite landed at that point of my birth. Now, maybe that's because I wasn't ready to deal with it. Maybe. I don't know. Or maybe it was because not naming it, not being able to name it as tocophobia was a barrier to seeing it, which, you know, might be one way of explaining it. I don't know, but I think it's curious that I've done a lot of work on myself over the years and a lot of things. And no, I used to get frustrated and think, no, we're still not getting there. Still not there. And then along came you. And we talked about tocophobia and wham, there we were.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Wow. Yeah. Well, I'm thrilled that it's, well, created such a profound transformation in you. What, you know, what we can look forward to seeing from you now that you've been let go, like released from the grips of it.
Yes, exactly. And if anybody else wants to be released from the grips of it, Alexia, how do they get in touch with you? Where do they find you? Because you've also got your business called Head Trash, haven't you? So tell us about all of that.
So when I had tocophobia, I healed it myself, and that was the start of my own journey. So I developed a method for healing my own tocophobia. At the time, it couldn't be done. The doctors say, just have a C-section and you'll deal with it, honey. That was the vibe. And so that was the beginning of that. That's where I developed my healing modality, which is called Head Trash Clearance. So I wrote a book for women that help them to unpack their fears and heal their fears themselves. And so that book is called Fearless Birthing. So people can learn all about how to use head trauma clearance and apply it specifically in the context of pregnancy and birth in that book. Whereas if you're not pregnant and you're just not really bothered about healing pregnancy fears and you just want to clear your head trash, then there's the Clear Your Head Trash book. So you can learn head trash clearance. And that is where you can heal your anxiety or any travel phobia, I don't know, like fear of flying, whatever it is that's, you know, any, it doesn't discriminate what it can help you with. So yeah, if you want to sort of find out how you can get support for general stuff, then clearyourheadtrash.com. And if you have birth-related or pregnancy-related things, then at fearfreechildbirth.com, which is, I've got a podcast, the Fear Free Childbirth podcast, lots and lots of interviews of women that have conquered tocophobia, talking about what that journey's like. So you can hear, okay, if I want to get on this journey and I want to heal this, what does that look like? Here, if you want to listen to other people that have done that, then you can hear lots and lots of stories of women that have done that too. So you can see what's in store and what that transformation can mean for you. Yeah, take your pick whether you want to clear general head trash or birthing head trash.
I love it. I love it. Yeah, do check out both of those books, in fact, especially if you're a woman and you're thinking about giving birth to a baby at some stage. But no, wonderful. Thank you for all the work that you do. Thank you for joining me today. And thank you for everything that you've done for me and hopefully for many, many more people to come. Thanks, Alexia.
Thank you, JJ. Thank you.
Alexia Leachman, she really is doing great work. And if you're feeling really stuck and can't move forward, I hope that my story will give you the insight to shift what's standing in your way. Just beware that when you commit to your life's path, sometimes that transformation can be painful. The metaphor of the butterfly is really apt. The caterpillar has to disintegrate, effectively die, for the butterfly to emerge into the world, and that can be very painful at the time for the poor old caterpillar, but that's the alchemy of transformation at work. Meanwhile, all my butterfly friends, remember you can always reach out to me for help in getting you through. Check out my website and blog at thepracticalalchemist.uk. If you register at the site, you'll get all my latest news and views right into your inbox. You'll also find some audio tracts there that will help you if you're stressed or suffering from anxiety. They're a kind of guided meditation, but you might find them useful as a way to just be quiet and take some time for yourself for a few minutes. A guided track is a great way to get the benefits even if you're new to this kind of thing. Remember to follow me on Facebook and Instagram as The Practical Alchemist. That's another way to keep up with everything that I'm doing and not miss a thing. And make sure you check out Health Triangle magazine for some great health information. It's packed with features and news from all your favourite UK health radio presenters and contributors. You'll find the link to that on the UK Health Radio homepage too. But don't spend too much time staring at your device screens, especially in bed or lounging on the sofa. Apparently, your mobile phone position when you're lying down can significantly impact your health and well-being, including sleep quality, eye health, and even your posture. New research from the technology company Geonode has found that if you must use your phone while lying down, the best position is to lie down on your side with your arms propped up on pillows. That way you reduce neck strain and it's better for your eyes. The worst position, they say, is to hold the phone above your head, which can cause all kinds of strain. And then what happens if you drop it? Quite painful, I'd suggest. This show was brought to you in association with NasalGuard, the drug-free nasal gel that uses electrostatic technology to block harmful airborne contaminants as well as indoor and outdoor allergens, perfect for travellers and allergy sufferers alike. Thank you for listening. I hope you'll join me next time for more Practical Alchemy. Until then, it's goodbye from this phoenix rising from the ashes and that nightingale.